Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all, Seven Rounds in Heaven is back. We are brought to you by Sports Drink. It's a great night to be a Tiger. Fake accents and TikTok videos work when you can beat Bama. It is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. the meteorologist, predicting no more wind for the rest of the Buckeyes season. And with me, as always, is AJ. Give Stetson Bennett a call for Heisman. Marchese.
Who would you give it to over Stetson right now, Rob? Nobody. That's the answer.
Nobody. Number one team. Wins are the most important stat.
Exactly.
Today, we're talking all the NFL draft prospects who succeeded, defeated, and conceded during week 10 of college football. Let's hit it!
Seven
rounds in heaven with my baby, driving out to Casey, maybe looking for Stroud or a Bryce Young.
Who's gonna wear a Hawaiian shirt today?
Who's gonna put ketchup on a stick?
Who's gonna find a steal in the fifth? The home team. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
Today's episode of Seven Rounds in Heaven is brought to you by Sports Drink, your digital water cooler. Sports Drink is a newly created internet community that tries to find the intersection of sports and not sports. They're here to help us grow and to hate your favorite team. A rising tide lifts all boats, so go check them out online or on social. Go to sportsdrink.org or open Instagram and type in at sportsdrink, spelled like sports drink without the vowels. All we ask is that you close the door behind you. We're trying not to let the funk out. So Florida sure finally let the funk out and fired Jeff Scott after a 4-26 tenure. The former Clemson offensive coordinator started year three down in Tampa, 1-8. And finally they said, be gone, Jeff. That is how they did it. South Florida's a weird program.
Yeah, funny spot.
Yeah, Jim Leavitt obviously like kind of built that thing from the ground up, took them up to the FBS. And he had a winning record 9 out of his 10 years from 2000 to 2009. And if you remember, AJ, that crazy 2007 season, they were ranked as high as number 2. And then ultimately he was let go for allegedly striking a player. The Jim Leavitt career is strange to say the least.
Big time.
After that, Skip Holtz, Willie Taggart, Charlie Strong, all had 10 years, all had at least one winning season, but they haven't had a winning season since 2018 with Charlie Strong. It's definitely has the potential to be a upper echelon G5 job, especially with some of the other top G5s making that jump to the Big 12. It's kind of sad that UCF is leaving for the Big 12 and South Florida's still stuck in the AAC.
They got to keep the Warren I-4 as a non-conference game, though.
Yeah, I agree. There's a couple of interesting names. I feel like the right hire could be really big for them to bounce back quickly. Obviously, a hot recruiting ground in Florida there. Some of the names, I'll start with some of the guys who I think are most likely. Willie Simmons, the the Florida A&M head coach, Jijuan Sider, the Penn State running back coach, Del McGee, Georgia's running back coach, Bill Clark, which I think is a really interesting one, the former UAB head coach, his name's everywhere, Florida State offensive coordinator Alex Atkins, and Florida State defensive coordinator Randy Shannon, who's coached at like every program in the state of Florida.
It's going to be Randy. It's going to be Randy.
There's three sitting head coaches in the FBS level whose names have popped up. Jamie Chadwell at Coastal, Jason Candle at Toledo, who's playing right now, and Sean Lewis at Kent State. And then finally, a trio of hilarity. Tom Herman, Dan Mullen, and Scott Frost.
Scott Frost would be the best hire, right? Like, that would be the, like, for everyone.
Hilarious.
It'd be amazing. It would be amazing.
Is Scott Frost a funnier hire than Dan Mullen, though?
I know what's a better hire in real life, I think. I don't know.
I, of the lesser, like, I don't see Jamie Chadwell leaving Coastal.
I don't think any of those unless coaches. It was like,
the Jason Candle one's weird. Yeah. He interviewed for Miami's offensive coordinator job. His OC was I think he was a high school coach in the area for like 15 years. Sean Lewis makes more sense just because Kent State has zero resources and South Florida is a huge upgrade in that respect. But he's also like never coached down there. So that one seems kind of strange. I think Willie Simmons is the most interesting one because he's a successful head coach at two different FCS programs. Mm-hmm. He's coaching in that state right now. He's from the area. Like, he checks all the boxes. I think Alex Atkins, the Florida State OC, would be probably, if you're looking for more like young hotshot, that'd be the guy to go after. But yeah. I think he's going to get the Charlotte job. So interesting.
It's pretty crazy that, you know, what is it now, 4 or 5 years ago, maybe a little bit more, we had, you know, the Quentin Flowers shootout in the Warren I-4 on, you know, on Black Friday. And then since that point in time, the programs between UCF and USF have gone in the complete opposite directions. Right. Like, and then we're at the point now where, like, you know, guys are passing up USF for Charlotte, potentially. You know what I mean? Like, that's so
Willie,
crazy.
Willie Taggart won 11 games there not too long ago. Charlie Strong won 10 the year after that.
Yep.
It's taking quite the tumble. I mean, like, when we were kids and USF was in the Big East during the Jim Leavitt days, like, Matt Grothy had this team competing for a chance at the national championship. It's South Florida's a job with so much, I think, so much potential just because, one, it's in Tampa, God City. Two, they've had a lot of success. Three, as other G5s leave, they've got a chance to be in that upper echelon of G5s. But I guess we'll see. This next hire is gonna,
it's crucial,
either sink up. Yeah, like it. If they get this wrong, I think they'll be just bottom feeding for a long time.
Yeah, I agreed.
And I mean, at the time, Jeff Scott seemed like a smart hire. He was Clemson's offensive coordinator.
Yeah, it seems like a good get, right? Like a guy who was, you know, coaching in national championship games, and then he fell flat on his fucking face.
We've spent way more time on South Florida head coaching than I thought we ever would.
You know that South Florida's got a soft spot in my heart with you know, all ex-Big East teams. Yeah, I don't know. It is a crucial hire, and I don't know. I don't know if they're going to make the right one. It feels the trend is going to continue. Yeah.
Okay. Before we get to the week 10 superlatives, a couple big acceptances have happened.
Ooh, we're in the season now?
All-star games, baby. Jim Nagy got his first. He reeled in Cody Mock. Good North get. Dakota State's left tackle, one of our favorite players over the summer during our FCS show. He is – I think he's going to just shoot up boards.
Big time.
He not only does he have long, flowing red hair, he's a ridiculous mover in space. He is so nasty through the whistle. You just watch in awe as he climbs to the second level and punishes guys. I can't wait to see him in Mobile.
Yeah, he's gonna shoot up huge. I mean, I think you've already kind of felt it a little bit, like as this announcement came out and like people kind of start digging in a little bit more. But I don't know. Second round is not out of the realm, like for sure, right?
No, I mean, I got him, like, with top 10 tackle over the summer. And
mm-hmm.
I think especially because it's not a super deep class. I think very much he's going to be in like that top seven, top eight tackle conversation.
Yeah, agreed.
In other news, Jim Nagy's biggest rival, Eric Galco, got three acceptances at the East-West Shrine Bowl. Michigan State linebacker Ben Van Summeren, Georgia Tech linebacker safety Charlie Thomas, and Houston safety Javarius Owens.
Congrats.
I watched all three of them.
Okay, go. Owens is good.
Van Summeren is special teams linebacker. Former Michigan linebacker, transferred to Michigan State. Just a run-fitting stud. Cannot cover. Charlie Thomas is like a safety playing linebacker and edge at Georgia Tech. It's weird. Athletic and physical. Again, screams special teams. But neither of them. I don't have a draftable on either of them. But Javarius Owens, that's a very good get.
Yeah, but what if he spurns the Shrine for the senior?
No, he would never.
He would never? Okay. No, it's a good get.
Guy who plays a lot of single high, mm-hmm. fluid hips, good tackler. I think he's an interesting guy who isn't super versatile per se, but just like in the way everyone's playing too deep these days, like good fit in the NFL.
Yeah, agreed.
Cool. You want to get to our Week 10 superlatives?
Are we doing all the Shrine game acceptances?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
You can't stop me.
The show's going to be three hours long. Okay.
What? Do you want me to do a spinoff show where I only talk about East-West Shrine Bowl?
I would love that. I mean, you know how I feel. I'm in Nagy's pocket, right? Like,
after they move from the drop, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna get a call from old Jimmy after this show, and I'm gonna need to do some editing on this and get rid of all that content. So,
why didn't it bother you when the Senior Bowl moved from Lab People Stadium?
It did. It did. I talked to him for a couple hours that evening. You know, I miss the lad. Let's move on. Don't walk me down this road.
Speaking of lads, college football Week 10 superlative, starting with our best freshman. I had a bunch. I had to cut it down this week. It's the best week of freshmen.
I had a top dogs, clear top dogs.
All right, shoot.
Catron Allen again. That's top dog I've ever did.
Yeah, I had to cut him off, but yeah, that makes sense. It was Indiana.
It was Indiana, but I don't know. He's so fun to watch. He really wasn't crazy. My top guy, but I knew you had him cut. So yeah, go ahead.
It's crazy to me that earlier in the year, Nick Singleton looked like the next great Penn State running back, true freshman. Now, Catron Allen, different true freshman running back, looks like the next great Penn State running back.
Who do you like better, like in your heart? Not who's a better.
I think I like Allen's style a little
me
more.
Me too. He's so much fun. Yeah, just like he's so physical. And yeah. But then this week, you know, he showed that he's dangerous in the open field with that big receiving play.
Catch and run.
Yeah, catch and run. Had 86 on the ground and 3 touchdowns, 72 through the air. Yeah, it's Indiana. I don't care. He's a monster.
I will stick at offense and go with a guy who plays both in the air and on the ground, and he's from a small school. Coastal Carolina's Jared Brown. In that 35-28 win over App State on, what was that, Thursday night?
Mm-hmm.
He had the 49-yard touchdown run off that sweet option play they ran. Hire Jamie Chappell. I want to see this shit in the P5. And then he just kept burning that App State secondary deep. He has so much speed. He looks like Jamie Chappell's next NFL talent.
Yeah, he was fun. He was a lot of fun. I'm not going to small school, Rob. I would big school. How about the biggest play in the biggest game? Mason Taylor for LSU, the tight end, who was only 3 catches, 36 yards, a touchdown. But he had that game-tying touchdown and then the big old 2-point conversion to win.
And that touchdown grab was nasty.
Yeah, it was nasty. And then the 2-point wasn't anything, you know, miraculous, but it was still a really good play. When he first caught it, I was worried he wasn't going to get to the pylon. But nope, he finishes. He looks like he's going to be a top tight end in a couple years, if not the top tight end.
Jason Taylor's son, you'll hear that a million more times.
Who?
I'll go with a big play for a big program. Benjamin Morrison, who had the pick 6 for Notre Dame against Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
But more than that, he had another pick. He had a PBU. He was everywhere. He looks like just all of a sudden, one, Notre Dame's back to being relevant. Two, Marcus Freeman And Al freaking Golden have that defense balling. And three, Morrison looks like a guy to build around in that secondary going forward.
This is my last one, maybe the best one for last, Rob. Speaking of guys to build around in the secondary, Malachi Starks is so special for the Dogs. I mean, it's just another terrific game for him. 10 tackles of PBU, felt like he was all over the field on that loaded defense, of course, and that amazing performance. Yeah, I feel like he's going to be a first-round pick when he comes out.
I feel the same about Harold Perkins, the LSU edge rusher, who him and Ojulari were giving Alabama hell. They're beating Bryce Young up. He had three hurries, a sack, and a PBU. He just has an extra gear to him. He's a fun, fun player.
You're all in on the BK train now, eh?
Yeah, I love that guy. He knows how to coach a team.
He does. Anyone else?
No, that's it for me. You want to jump over to the sophomores?
Let's do it. Who's your top dog?
I had to give it to Duke quarterback Riley Leonard because he had that 60-yard touchdown run Friday night against Boston College. And they just run the hell out of him.
Yeah. He was fun to watch.
He's a fun player. 6'4". He's a little bit over 200. Runs that system well. But, like, he's super athletic.
He is. He's fun. I went with a couple classics here. First, I just want to mention JT Tuimoloau, who obviously didn't have that freaky game like he did last week, but another really solid performance in a tight win. I felt like early had that one where it looked like it was like going to be another pick six for him. He got up and, you know, deflected the pass, didn't catch it. Would have been six. I feel like that would have changed the entire game. Still a really good play. And then like, it felt like he was when like, you know, the rest of Ohio State, the front was struggling a little bit until like the second half. I feel like he was the only one that wasn't, had a nice TFL, was getting pressure. He
almost had another pick.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
And no, I just like it's so incredible.
I know he should like he should have had it, but that's only because I've seen him do it already, and it's not an easy play.
So but, funny.
Yeah, it is funny, and he would have housed it. He would.
I feel like he's gonna take what he did 2 weeks ago and just build on that. And he's a household name kind of now, and just such a freak show.
Yes.
I'll go with edge rusher who played Friday night because I just love that Boston College Duke game so much, I guess. Donovan Izaruaku. I'm not going to try that again. But the Boston College pass rusher, two TFLs, a sack, plays with his hair on fire. He had a speed to power where he literally just threw the left tackle into the ground. Twitchy, powerful, has an engine that runs hot. I like that a lot.
I'm going to go with another Donovan, my guy, Donovan Edwards from Michigan. he's just such a good receiver, man. Like they line him up out wide, and he's just an absolute mismatch. Had a touchdown, 50 yards receiving, 100 yards on the ground. Like, I think right now, Corum is obviously a better pure runner, but just the things he can do in the passing game are just such a difference.
Moving on, Weekday Warrior.
Okay, I guess I was done. Whatever. Okay.
Oh, I just assumed that was your last one.
No. I'm going to shout out the Gators pass rushers. I know they lost, but I thought like Antoine Powell-Ryland stepping in for Cox getting booted off the team. I thought he looked good. Had a sack, a couple TFLs. The sack was a strip sack. Then opposite of him, I don't know how to say his name, Princely Umanamalian.
Oh, he's got some hype I've seen.
Yeah, he's good. He's bit, like I think they got Powell-Ryland at like 6'3", 245, and Princely at like 6'5", 245. So like a little both on the lighter side, but yeah, he's got more length to him, and yeah, he had two TFLs too and a sack. So the interesting duo going ahead for the Gators.
For Weekday Warrior, going back to Boston College Duke, I give it to Zay Flowers, who had 6 for 65 and two scores. Blocked his ass off. He had a couple drops, but yeah, that Boston College team is really bad, and they had this random quarterback come out of nowhere who it was his first start, and him, Flowers, and their other sophomore receiver or freshman receiver, sorry, Joe Griffin, just kind of got in a mode in the second half where they almost came back into it. They ultimately they didn't, but like Zay Flowers, his one touchdown was on this sweet play design. It was like kind of this, it was almost like an orbit route, but they just motioned him back and forth a bunch, and then
yeah,
he had all the momentum going into the flats by the time they snapped it. And then he had that catch and run with the yak. And then, yeah, he's blocking his ass off. I just think Zay Flowers is going to be such a solid player in the NFL.
Yeah, he is. Where he ends up in April is going to be interesting. I mean, if he really blows up the 40, you know, it's going to be higher than not, right? But I love Zay. I'm not going to mention any Duke or Eagles this week, but I'm going to show just like a couple guys from the Jamie Chadwell game, like you keep mentioning. I think first, Drunk Clark was a monster in the middle, I thought, for Coastal. Just yeah. Like constantly clogging it up, had a TFL, had a couple hurries, provided that like push and that pressure. I thought that was – I like Drunk Clark a lot. And then our other guys.
I just wanted to say, when he shot that gap for the TFL, it was just like a man should that big shouldn't move that easily.
I know, especially for like – it keeps making me scratch my head how he ended up at, quote-unquote, a small school, right?
Yeah.
And then also our guy, Sam Pinckney, had a touchdown, was wide open, 80 yards, four catches. And then Nick Hampton got a sack on the other side of the ball. I just wanted to highlight him. I didn't think he was like too much of a holy shit performance or anything, but he's a good ball player. And he's another guy that's going to be a fun eval when we get there.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Going to the best prospects this week.
Offense, I found so difficult this week.
Okay. I was going to say, both offense and defense, I kind of knew all Saturday after their performances that it would be these two guys.
I wonder who you put for – I really had no clear – so, okay, let me say this. Offense, I had no clear guy because I felt like there was just no one that deserved it. Defense, I had, like, a bunch of guys I could have given it to. So, both were hard, but for the opposite reasons.
You might not have watched the game I watched for my offensive guy, and that might may have been why. Oh, but
K-State, Texas?
Yeah. I give it to Bijan Robinson.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Bijan Robinson was incredible in this game. He had that touchdown run, which I'm sure most people have seen, where he just kind of inside zone explodes with a cut, kind of breaks a tackle and just hits that second gear end zone. But aside from that, he was like a true bell cow as Texas tried to grind out this win. They almost blew it. 30 carries, 209 yards, plus two catches, 34 yards. Where both they just kind of got him the ball in space and he looked really good, but it felt like every carry he was getting two or three more yards than he should have.
Mm-hmm.
Like
what else is new?
On a 7-yard carry, he's breaking two tackles. He's such a hard guy to get a clean shot at because I think he's just got such good spatial awareness.
Yeah.
And he understands how to give defenders poor angles when kind of in the hole with him, and he's always falling forward, and that's not even mentioning how explosive he is.
Mm-hmm.
And how I think he has underrated vision, just because I think he is one of those players who's so talented physically that we kind of underrate his innate ability to just play the running back position. I think that's something that's really important because I mean, we've seen super talented athletic running backs fail in the past because they lack that. Trent Richardson comes to mind. Najee Harris currently in the NFL comes to mind for me. But Bijan looks like everything you want, like a true complete NFL running back. And I thought he looked great in pass protection. I didn't put Roshon Johnson anywhere who had a fumble. But other than that, he looked really good too. And they're just such a perfect 1-2 punch.
I was about to bring up the same thing you just touched on. Is that like... Bijan just has that instinctual feeling that you cannot teach as a running back. And on top of, you know, all the athletic greatness that make him great and the receiving ability. It's just, yeah, like you said, the spatial awareness and just the feel. And honestly, I think when you watch him, that's honestly the first thing that pops. And it's something that you almost can't put a finger on at first, you know, like. It's just, you know, when a guy has it, and I think it's one of the most beautiful things in football when you see a guy that has it, you know?
I agree. It makes me think running backs could be taken in the first round, but ultimately I know that's not true.
You know what's funny? I am sticking in the great state of Texas and sticking at the running back position and giving it to a guy who's also the best player on his football team, but it means more for him because his team's shit. Devonta Shane, who I thought just like, kind of carried the Aggies like you know they didn't win. Florida did win. I don't know why I said Florida didn't win earlier. A&M didn't. They had a bunch of dudes out with the flu. The defense was bad, and the Shane just tried to will them to a win. It felt like in the first half it was just Anthony Richardson doing something crazy and then Devonta Shane doing something crazy. He had like one drive where he had a 65-yard run and then just finished it with a touchdown. We just reversed the field and outran everyone. Then he had a receiving touchdown, I think, like on the next drive or the one after that. It was a short one, but like it just made it feel so easy with his speed and space. And then another touchdown. He was the best player on the team at 122 yards on 16 touches. And then two touchdowns and receiving touchdown. He's been so fantastic this year for an A&M team that has had many struggles. And maybe this is the game that if Jimbo was cheaper, that get him fired. But Shane has been so great. But again, I didn't have a clear stud this week, but.
Yeah, this running back class is just really good.
It is really good. I feel like people aren't appreciating it enough just because people want to be like, oh, running backs don't matter. You know what I mean? Like fine. You know, I'm not trying to overvalue running backs or anything, but.
Oh, my God, AJ.
Kenneth Walker is a difference maker right now.
get it. Your team drafted a running back not in the first round who's good, and mine drafted one in the first round who's bad.
It works out, baby. But no, it's such a good class, and it just feels underappreciated.
For defensive prospect of the week, I felt like there was nobody you could choose except for Jalen Carter.
I don't disagree. I went opposite because I felt like you're going to choose Carter. And I think like the other choice would have been his teammate, Keely Ringo, but I give you another. I'm going to give you a third option because they're all so good, though. But go, please.
Jalen Carter had obviously the sack where he just walked the Tennessee right guard back.
Yeah.
Worked off the block, strip sacked Hendon Hooker. It should have been a safety. It wasn't because SEC refs are weird. He had so that there was one sack and forced fumble. He had the other forced fumble.
That one is so funny.
What?
It was weird looking. It was like it was so gentle, like his contact with the ball. It's like probably because it was pouring rain at the time, but still like a great play.
His ability and on that one he came back, said just his ability to shoot a gap. And just like teleport in the backfield is so ridiculous. He has rare explosiveness for an interior defensive lineman. He had another hurry. He had two run stops. And this is a guy who's been banged up all year and had been playing limited snaps and in their biggest game of the year against the best offense in the country, supposedly. He just balled out, and he was the true difference maker.
Yeah, no, he totally deserves it. He would have been my top choice, but I was going to let you have him. I think I saw he's played 85 snaps entering this game, so, like having him come back and, like you said, be the true difference maker, and, like, just, like, yeah, I'm healthy, or he might not even be fully healthy, but he's still a fucking monster, and it's...
I think if he was fully healthy this year, he'd be having that type of year Quinnen Williams had his last year at Alabama.
Yeah.
Because in the spurts we do get to see him, he's playing at that level.
Maybe Jalen Carter wins the Heisman. Stretch run, baby. Sure. I'm sticking on the front. I think it was a tough choice between Carter, Ringo, and then my guy who I went with because I wanted to give him some love, Tyree Wilson. I thought he was just a monster. Probably a guy that also outplayed the box score. Had 8 tackles, half a sack, 2 TFLs. That doesn't look bad. But also had another sack wiped out off with, like, a terrible face mask call. He came unblocked. And then, Duncan tried to, like, escape. But, like, just his length and his quickness just swallowed him up in the backfield. Shitty call. And it wiped it out. And that honestly hurt them big time. Because, like, he was just wrecking the game. They were winning at that point. And it felt like that face mask call, like, killed the momentum. And, like, it was a third down. It gave TCU the first. And then they pulled away. Sucked. But anyways, had another play where he just like blew, early in the game where he just blew up Duggan. Like it was third and short and he just instantly got into the backfield, put a big shot in Duggan, forced a terrible throw. Also early, I think it might've been the first drive, like a huge TFL on a fourth and short. He only had half a sack credited for two and a half TFLs, but he felt like he was just wrecking the game for the Horned Frogs, man.
He's just a grown-ass man on the football field. Like, he is so long and powerful.
Yeah.
He's going to be, like, he's a very much a guy I feel like Bill Belichick's going to love.
Yes, agreed.
I actually saw him compared to Dietrich Weiss today.
I saw that, too.
Shout out Ben Fennel.
Yeah.
Going to shooting up the board, I'm going to stick with an SEC defensive lineman as my top guy, and I'm going to go with B.J. Ojulari.
Ojulari was like, this is like the statement game, man.
They needed this from him,
yeah,
and they just could not block this man.
Yep.
And you saw the athleticism, but I think more importantly, you saw the power and the impact he can have as a run defender. Like the pop in his hands. He was playing inside and out. Just so physically dominant throughout this game.
He was. And like you said, like I don't know if they win without him. Like I think he had 11 tackles and a sack, but like he had multiple other pressures on Bryce Young. It was like it felt like constant pressure. Like you said, it was so good in the run game. This was like, yeah, that game where like you're going to go back to this tape and be like, why don't we draft this guy? He was amazing. I gave it to another defensive lineman as my top spot because I feel like he did the most for his stock. Going to Northwestern, Addie Edebowore, who was just an animal against the Buckeyes. Like back-to-back series, he had massive 3rd-and-1 TFLs to like, you know, just to keep stalling that Ohio State offense. They could not move the ball on the ground like at all until late. Was in on another TFL. Some only got credit for half a TFL. I don't know. He was another guy who could have outplayed the box score. Had another play where he just walked the guard right back into Stroud's lap I think it was on a 3rd down and forced like a miss for him. And then like he got one, which I thought like was really just highlighting his ability to play in space where like he could have sacked Stroud, but like he just kind of like mirrored him on the edge and like, you know, kept his hands off and just kept cutting the passing lane off. And then just led to like a really ugly throw on a 3rd down. He like every time they had a 3rd down, you know, when the game was still tight, which was most of the game, he just constantly kept making the play. It was ridiculous. Like you would know without even seeing his number that it was him that made the play just because it was 3rd down. He was a monster. He was a monster.
The SEC's just the defensive linemen this year are just disgusting.
And the Big Ten, baby.
And the Big Ten.
yeah, I thought those were like the dudes. And then if we want to throw one more, I know like shooting up the board maybe a little too much, but this was the big statement game for Kelee Ringo.
Like that the interception was ridiculous.
It was fucking ridiculous. Like he just ate up Tillman. Like man, like you know it was a deep shot that he ran the damn route for him. Perfect coverage. Found the ball. You know, reels it in over the shoulder. He looked like he was the intended target. It was ridiculous. And then just shut them down all game. He got called for the 1 PI on the slant, but it was like nothing. Was just absolutely dominant. I felt like pretty physical as a tackler as well. Yeah, Ringo, like again, Ringo, Carter, and Wilson, like were, and Ojulari and Addy could have all been, you know, defensive player of the week on many weeks.
Okay, so just a couple thoughts. Ringo on that deep shot where he just kind of was it the Tillman? Where
yeah, it was Tillman.
Yeah, okay, where he got over top of him and it just like ended up in Ringo's bucket. His patience off the line of scrimmage and mirroring of Tillman, who's obviously one of the top senior receivers in the country.
And a hell of a deep threat.
Like yeah, just his technique and then the athleticism to then stack him and get that ball ridiculous. Was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Circling back to Addy, I couldn't believe just his ability to kick inside and just both as a pass rusher overpowered the interior offensive lineman on Ohio State. But then in the run game, his ability to shoot gaps, he's a really interesting player. I think a defensive coordinator is going to fall in love with that versatility.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, obviously he's playing on a terrible Northwestern team. But he just, for sure, like, I mean, it's another guy, when you sit down, come, you know, draft time, and these guys go through his tape, like, I told you, someone's going to fall in love with him.
I also want to add Brian Branch for shooting up the board, because I thought he was Alabama's best player.
Yeah, he was. He definitely was.
He was, and he kind of outplayed the box score, too, just the way he was hitting people, just his Swiss Army knife. Like he is like all the past Alabama DBs we have loved, like the Minka Fitzpatricks, the Xavier McKinney's, the Marlon Humphreys, with that versatility to kind of be a weapon at the nickel for them. I think he is to the right team, he is gonna be such a fun player in the NFL.
Yeah, totally. I really hope it's a team that utilizes him, you know, less that versatility. But yeah, like I felt like watching the LSU game like so many times, like you said, it wasn't like a huge box score performance, I didn't feel like, but like there's so many times like, yeah, this is why I think he's the best, you know, the best guy in the Alabama secondary.
I think if we're gonna call him a safety, like he's very much trending, I think, to be that first safety selected.
Yeah, I don't know who I put up on top of him right now.
And I'll give you one more. I thought Mayan Williams was really the engine that won that game for Ohio State. He had 10 broken tackles against Northwestern, and that led the FBS this week. It was his, I think, first 100-yard performance of his career. He only averaged 4.3 a carry, but given the circumstances, it makes sense. And he was just a little truck out there.
Evan Hall was better, though, so.
Yeah, that's respect.
I'll give you a couple more, and stop me if you want to talk about them other way, elsewise. Late game Saturday, Tuli Tuipulotu. If this guy was on the East Coast, if he was in the SEC,
oh my God, here we go.
He would be talked about. Maybe the Heisman. No, I'm just kidding. But another 2-sack performance, 2.5 TFLs. I've said it before. I've tweeted about it before. But just like how easy he makes rushing the passer look on the outside for a man like with his build and his size, like it is pretty freaky. Okay, we haven't talked about this guy in a while. But Anthony Richardson played his best game of the year.
I thought you were going to be like, Blake Corum.
What? No, I talk about Blake Corum every week. I don't have him here anywhere.
I think with him, it's just like he shouldn't come out, but also it's a weak quarterback class in terms of depth. So
that's kind of the conversation I wanted to start. Yeah. Look, of course, it's all whatever he wants to do, but like I don't know if he should, but the opportunity's going to be there. I mean, I think I still like him more than Will Levis without actually digging into the tape because the talent is there. The glimpses are there. Like, he had a 60-yard touchdown run. He's always dangerous as an athlete. But he looked like the best he's looked as a passer in his career, I thought. Like, legit stepping up in the pocket, throwing darts on time, accurate, leading receivers, and then also making those off-script plays. Like, the one touchdown play was really fun and just kind of, like, gave his receiver a great chance. I thought he played a great game. And yeah, it's going to be super interesting to see what happens with him.
I'll throw it one more. I know it wasn't like a mind-boggling performance, but Kenny McIntosh is just, I think his skill set is so perfect for today's NFL.
Yeah, agreed. And I'll throw one more back out who, I don't know about the skill set, but he's helping himself big time. TCU's Country Miller just keeps piling up the numbers, keeps helping his stock big time. Also, I thought D. Winters, it's just so fun as a blitzer, another 2-sack game. But, yeah, Miller keeps helping himself at that position, too. And, again, just speaks – like, those are the guys that don't really get talked about in the top, but it just speaks to the depth of this class.
He is kind of the unsung hero, it feels like, a little bit for that TCU team so far this year.
Totally. I mean, again, I think Quentin Johnson is the best player, but, like
–
He got hurt, and in terms of, like, actually helping that offense, I think Miller's the most important.
Going more negative now, sliding down the board. I think this wasn't just a loss for Tennessee. Yeah. It was a tough watch for Hendon Hooker.
Agreed.
Stands. It kind of, he seemed off all day. He missed a couple of the deep shots early. That one to Jalen Hyatt down the sideline where Hyatt then stepped on the ref and like kind of rolled his ankle.
Yeah. Yeah.
That after that happened, it just felt like, oh, this isn't their day. Finished with 195, just 5.9 an attempt and a pick. His deep ball was just, placement was just kind of off all day.
Yeah.
Obviously, that Georgia defense is amazing, and this isn't like this performance is still better from him than some of the Will Levis ones I've seen this
year. Oh, yeah, totally. Absolutely.
it just kind of came back down to earth a little bit.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, again, you know, the Georgia defense was great. They defended the offense perfectly. It felt like Heupel had no adjustments in the game.
No.
And, like, but I don't know. Yeah, it felt like more this is where the game where we see more of, like, Hooker's more game managey rather than a playmaker. You know what I mean? Like I think this is also the tape that they'll go back to that call into the question. Maybe is it just a system quarterback, blah, blah, blah. But, like, just, like, really, you know, on the talking about the performance, like, I felt like almost like that him not wanting to turn the ball over like came back to bite him. Like he was too overcautious when they were, you know, down a bunch and like just too like holding on to the ball too long just to like throw a little check down that's not there anyways. You know what I mean? Like lots of
is often as they push it deep, like the deep ball's coming on the where Hyatt or Tillman or whomever it is kind of has that step, and after the Keely Ringo interception, it kind of felt like they especially got away from that anyway.
Yeah, and like you said, like all of his deep shots were overthrows, and that kind of makes me feel like more like, you know, he was afraid of that Ringo interception happening again, so he's putting it only where the ground or his guy's going to catch him. And most of those throws, he had his guy, like you said, the Hyatt play. So yeah, this is the real you know, the real hurt for Hooker here. And like, yeah. Just to stick on Tennessee, I thought, you know, that offensive line was brutal, and of course it's Georgia. But like, I just thought, I want to see a good game from Darnell Wright, and there was way worse parties on that front, but like, I just thought he didn't play very well either.
No, especially because he was such a difference maker in that win over Alabama.
Yeah, exactly. Like again, six sacks, I think, and they weren't all on Wright in the least, of course, but and I think that everyone else kind of game beat like a drum more than he was, but no, it just wasn't a good game from him.
I'll go a different direction. I'll jump to Clemson, Notre Dame. I just didn't think Trenton Simpson was that good.
I totally agree. I kind of put the Clemson D like as a whole to talk about, but if I was going to highlight a guy, it would be Simpson.
Notre Dame can't throw the ball. Like Drew Pine can't throw the ball. They just try to run the ball down your throat, and they were successful against arguably the best front seven in the country.
263 yards on the ground.
It felt like Trenton Simpson just was not getting off blocks. He was in the wrong gap. He was just taking himself out of the play a lot. And like he finished with 10 tackles. A lot of those came like 7 yards downfield.
Yeah.
And if you're going to take, I mean, we just saw Roquan Smith get traded, right? And I just think if you're going to take an off-ball linebacker, they have to be truly, truly dominant. And so you're almost holding him to a standard that is impossible for him to reach. But this was a tough watch.
No, and I don't know. This might just be me like watching this game and like going back retroactively. But like, I don't feel like other than maybe like the first couple of games, he's been like a real difference maker on that Clemson defense. Like, I'm not saying he's playing poorly or anything before this game, but like he hasn't played like that. Yeah, this is a first round pick at linebacker, and you know like. Like there's, you know, he has that amazing line in front of him who also struggled to contain the run here too. And
he's been way, I just, cause I agree with you. He's been a lot less impactful in terms of pass rush and TFLs in the box score this year. Like last year he had 12 and a half TFLs and 6.5 sacks in 13 games. Through 9 games this year, he has half a sack and that's it. Half TFL, half sack.
And like, yeah, okay, maybe they're not blitzing him as much because they don't need to, you know, blitz to generate pass rush, which they don't. But yeah, that TFLs are concerning when you have, like, you know, any linebacker playing against playing behind a terrific front and the best defensive line in the country, there's gonna be lots of opportunities to make big plays.
Just look at Nick exactly. Dean last year, or exactly. Clay Walker, or Jaden Dinnell.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And it hasn't felt like that type of year. And I've. It's almost like I meant to bring him up a couple times, but like, it's probably too steep. And then this time, you know, it just 263 yards on the ground,
and that's not to say he's not worthy of a top 50 pick or anything.
Oh no,
that's
not
just
at
to
all.
Say he, I don't know. It's like top it's 15. Hard to stomach no. Taking a linebacker that yeah. Like top 15. Yeah.
Yeah, like we've seen a lot of that, and yeah, agreed. Go on.
Who else you got?
Can we talk Ohio State? Can we talk CJ Stroud?
Okay, I think I threw this game out the window.
I just wanted to bring it up. I just wanted to bring
there
it up.
There was, okay, one, and this is, like, I'm trying not to be biased, but one, there were so many drops.
Yes, and I think the true shooting on the board, I put Stroud here because I wanted to talk about him, but the true two, I think, are Stover and Julian Fleming, because they were bad. They're bad.
They were.
Stover had, like, 2 catches, 12 yards. And just had one really, like, really bad drops. On would have converted a third down. And then he had the other one that was tough. It was more on Stroud. It was a bad throw. But he had to go end the win, obviously. That's the whole preface. But
the one Fleming drop, though, was so bad.
Terrible. Terrible. Yeah. So I think those are the true shooting on the boards I wanted to get to. But we have to talk CJ Stroud, I feel like.
Yes. So the wind was like, you could, I mean, pre-snap, you look at the umpire, but like in the defensive backfield, and you could see his pants blowing. Like, the wind was insane.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could see how it impacted him both when they were going against it and when they had it behind them. And it was just, it's just so hard to judge that because it was such a rare occurrence.
Yeah.
Nobody could throw in this game. And then on top of that, he did kind of get into a bit of a rhythm and they were dropping everything. And then they just started – they used his legs – to make a bit of a difference, which we haven't really seen, which was nice to see at least.
His legs won them the game, I felt like. It finally just woke up the offense and led to the first touchdown, and then he had the long run.
But I don't know. I find it hard to hold this game against him.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to judge. And it's something that you'll never be able to quantify, right? Because unless you're on the field that day and truly felt the wind, you know, like it's impossible. And clearly the wind was a factor, but I'm just saying. But yeah, like the communication issues because like apparently like Weifler couldn't hear Stroud due to the wind. Like that's like just to put it into perspective, you know what I mean? I do think, you know, like the runs were more designed, you know, so I think the one thing you can call into question, again, just to poke a hole again, is like not being able to make the plays after out of structure was definitely hurting. But then again, like you said, the drops were brutal. Like he made one like it felt like you said, got into rhythm and it felt like he finally made a classic Stroud throw on a crosser, you know, stepped up, perfectly placed, and Ibuka dropped it. Like Marvin Harrison Jr., like he finally kind of, like, I'm not putting on him, but Ibuka had a couple drops too. I don't know. Yeah, I again, it's probably something you throw completely off the out the window. But if he struggles in another game, it's something that scouts will probably come back to, I feel like, you know? So it's interesting.
I think the week before is more, makes more sense to look at in a negative light for CJ Stroud.
I think it's just stacking them is a little, you know. Then it really, it comes down to what he's going to do in the Michigan game and then the playoffs if they get there, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Speaking of quarterbacks, good thing that Bryce Young feels good. Otherwise, Alabama might have lost by more. But the Alabama defense was a little bit up and down. I thought Eli Ricks was kind of the worst performer in his revenge game opportunity against LSU. Couple penalties, kind of out of place. I thought that was a tough look. After he had played so well against Mississippi State and kind of finally earned that starting job.
It's funny that, like, in both of the revenge game losses, like you know, Henry To'oto was probably the worst player on the Bama defense when they lost to Tennessee. And now Ricks is probably the worst player on the defense when they lost to LSU. I think that's funny. I didn't think To'oto, I know he made a couple of splashy plays. I didn't think he played a great game either.
No, I thought Jalen Moody was another guy. He had two brutal plays. One where he just kind of got trucked by the LSU running back, and the other on the Emory touchdown grab, he kind of blew that coverage. And and you could see because Nick Saban yelled at him on the sideline.
Yeah, Saban was running hot. It was, I love watching Alabama lose, so I'm not going to lie. Do you got anyone else?
I put Cameron Peoples.
Yeah, he just didn't really show up.
Their offensive line played poorly, but he was not breaking any tackles.
Yeah.
And there was one point in that game where I think it was a 4th-and-1, and they ran up the gut to him. And his height, I think, is just concerning. Like he struggles to run behind his pads at time and get low. Like he has such a high center of gravity, and although he's like such a horse and he churns those legs, like you can get a clean shot on him at times. And Coastal doesn't have a good run defense, and they shut down that App State run game.
They did. They really did. I mean, I think the best home for Peoples is like, you know, as a guy you mix in a lot in like an outside zone scheme, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Like maybe the Dolphins, if they want to go cheap on running back again, they bring him in. I think that would be kind of fun. But yeah, you know, like that one?
I like that one.
Oh, you do. Oh, I thought that was not a ooh.
It was
there we go. Anyone else?
No, that's it for me.
Okay, moving on.
Getting to out of nowhere. I stayed up late. I watched a little USC Cal. USC kind of seems fraudulent. Like Cal got back into this.
They did. Yeah, Jack Plummer's out of nowhere prospect. Good call, Rob.
Thank you. He's also my transfer. but Taj Washington has stepped up huge the last 2 weeks for USC. He's a little like dynamic route runner, Memphis transfer with Addison and Mario Williams out for this one. He had 112 and a touchdown. He looks like he's just a fun little slot.
Michael Jackson too, the sophomore for them, looked pretty good.
Yep, yeah, he did.
Didn't make the cut there, but they did. They stepped up big time. And like, I went to bed, I'm like, okay, USC's got this in the bag. I woke up, like, oh, fuck, Cal almost came back. That's not great. My out of nowhere is not really that out of nowhere, but I didn't have a good one this week. So I want Darius Davis, the TCU receiver. But, like, for what he does as a return man, a 54-yard punt return touchdown, that was awesome. 3 catches, 36 yards, and a touchdown. Stepped up, probably, they pulled away at the end, but, like, really needed him this week with Johnson out, going down with the ankle injury that happened last week apparently, and just banged him up in the first couple of drives this week. So that's something to monitor going forward. But no, Davis is fun. He's a smaller guy, but the return ability and some speed, just maybe a guy who finds a role at the next level.
Yeah, that return touchdown was sweet.
It was.
Best prospect versus prospect. Or sorry, I missed that. Prospecting made me look stupid.
Try to sneak one, but yeah.
I thought Broderick Jones,
that was Georgia mine.
Left tackle. Yeah, that was mine. He played really well the last 2 weeks.
He has.
He was awesome against Tennessee. He just punishes dudes when he can. He had that sick pancake on the DB. But he's also very, like, he's improved in pass protection, very balanced player. A guy who's certainly in that kind of top 10.
Yeah.
Or top 5, I should say, tackle conversation.
Yeah, so, like, I thought he's been overhyped all year, to be honest. And, like, I've seen him getting mocked number 5 overall. And I probably put him overhyped once or twice, even on the show. And I wasn't a giant fan of his on the summer. I think I had, like, a 5th-round grade. I'm like, this guy can develop, but not there yet. And, yeah, he's been fantastic, especially the last 2 weeks. I was a master this game. And, yeah, no, totally. He's helped himself a lot in my books.
Prospect versus prospect matchup. I went with Peter Skoronski against Ohio State's defensive line.
It's a good one. I think, like, you could have went with the Georgia DBs against the Tennessee, which we've talked about. Go, Skoronski. What'd you think?
I thought, well, one, Northwestern ran the hell out of the ball, ran for over 200 yards. I thought Skoronski looked pretty damn good. Got the best of Zach Harrison a couple times.
Yeah.
It wasn't a great, like, chance to watch him in pass pro just because, like, no one was throwing the ball. And basically, it was just a way to watch him in the run game. And he does such a good job climbing. He does such a good job making down blocks.
Lots of, like, nice, like, kick-out blocks, I thought, this week.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't, like, a super flashy performance, but it was very clean, I thought.
Yeah, and especially when they needed the run game to get going. I feel like to their fault, I guess, if they didn't go Wildcat so heavily, they could have had a chance, even. But,
disagree. That was the reason they were in it.
At first, and then it's just, like, Ohio State just kept knew it was coming, and... Yeah. Anyway, so I put the Georgia DBs against the Tennessee passing offense, but we've talked about that pretty much. So how about the other one, Dexter Gervion Dexter? That is against Layden Robinson. I felt like it was kind of like a push. I didn't feel like either of these guys really
a draw, if you will.
I will call it a draw. Maybe Dexter a little bit, but it wasn't like a big time performance. I don't know. I just my DBs against my Tennessee pass offense, but. I feel like it was kind of a tie. Neither of these guys really showed out, I thought. But, yeah, I'm ready for Dexter to just have another monster game. Because I feel like we haven't had one since, what was that, like week 2?
Yeah. Yeah, him and Anthony Richardson, same trajectory. prospect to play the box score. I thought Tennessee receiver Cedric Tillman played a really good game. I thought 7 catches for 68 yards doesn't seem great. But he was winning on route running underneath. He got the best of Keely Ringo a couple times underneath on the shorter routes.
And I got that PI too.
He runs such good routes for a bigger receiver. He had that big yak play too. I thought he did the most with the least for the Vols.
Yeah, it's like Tillman is really good, and it almost feels like because of how good Hyatt's been and him being out that he's like kind of getting forgotten in this offense a little bit, not too much.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because, like, if you told me, like, before the season, how good the Tennessee offense has been, I'd assume that Tillman would be one of the, you know, leading receivers in the country. And, you know, and shoot up the board every week for us. But it's been Hyatt, and Tillman is damn good, too. I know it's cheating. But we've shockingly not talked about Will Anderson that much this year, so I feel like we got to talk about him sometimes. He had 2 tackles and a sack. In reality, he was way, way, way better. I know they lost, but... He was a monster. I think, like, ESPN didn't have him with a hurry, which was just false. It felt like every time Daniels dropped back to pass, he had to go on the edge because Will Anderson was chasing his ass down. I thought it was, like, a countless amount of hurries. Maybe that's why ESPN just broke. And I feel like that's been the story of the year. And I feel like, you know, you'll get some people like, oh, Anderson hasn't been that impactful this year, blah, blah, blah. I feel like that's just bullshit.
They're
like,
also they're asking him. Maybe I'm wrong, but to me it seems like they're giving him less true pass rush, edge pass rush opportunities this year, using him more as their problem solver this year, where he's playing all over the place far more than just out on the edge like last year. Like he played all over the place last year too, but it's even more so this year.
And almost feels like he's just set to contain a lot of times too.
Yeah. But yeah, no, he's awesome. It's like this game, the Texas A&M game, their biggest games. He's been great.
Yeah, he has. He definitely
he's
has.
He's a top. He should be a top five pick lock, and a top two probably player on your board.
Yeah, agreed.
Like I think it's like him and Jalen Carter. Prospect is being overhyped. I'll go to my Maction. I'll go with Lou Nichols, who just hasn't had a good year for Central Michigan after being, I think, the leading rusher in college football last year. He's just it's been tough. They beat Northern Illinois, but he lost two fumbles, averages 3.3 an attempt. He hasn't had the explosive plays this year. It's been a lot of nothing. I know they lost both their tackles to the NFL draft, both day two picks, but old Sweet Lou has not had a good
game. Yeah, I know that sucks. I'm going to a classic, Rob. I'm going to a classic overhyped man who maybe this is finally time for him to be overhyped draft wise. Welcome back, Bo Nix. Bo Nix is back to being overhyped. I was reading an article. Mel Kiper's got him QB6, and he said he won't be shocked if he's a day two pick. Like, okay, come on now. Like Bo made a money transfer. He's in the Heisman talk. I'm not taking that away from him, but I still don't think you see a true NFL guy watching those Ducks games. Again, I haven't thrown on the Ducks tape yet, really. But come on.
I don't know. Tell me. I can't. I gotta watch the tape. I don't know. Speaking of transfers, transfer who popped on the scene, Jaden Daniels played very well against Alabama. He's played very well kind of past that Florida State game.
Yep.
And threw for 182 and two scores, ran for 95 and a score. Using his athleticism a ton with LSU. Oh, man, that looked bad for Curtis Rourke. And he's a guy who's going to be in the top 10 quarterback conversation potentially.
Yep, he definitely will. I put him...
The depth is so bad.
It is. It is not good. Absolutely. I put him, and I also put his teammate, Jerick Bernard Converse, the corner.
Yeah, I put him as well. He played awesome.
He did play awesome. Apparently 7 targets, 2 catches left for 13 yards, 2 PBUs, and had the pick in the end zone. Where Bryce Young, which was like, I don't know, getting goofy, did that weird little shimmy, had his receiver, but then it just wasn't a good throw.
Shut up. Brian Kelly's brought in so many impactful transfers.
Which is... Maybe that's always been his thing, but Notre Dame is hard to do transfers, right? But like, I don't know, like Bernard Converse, well built, looks like he's got good length to him too, coming over from Oklahoma State. If we didn't say already, interesting guy.
Finally, small school guy who caught your eye. I bet he's playing right now.
Yeah,
you got to go with a Maction guy from week one of Maction. So not tonight, but last Tuesday night while we were recording, Sam. Wiggles.
I have no idea. He's the guy, though.
I think it's Wiggles.
Okay.
Ohio Bobcats receiver. 6 grabs, 131 yards, 2 scores against Buffalo, and a big win for the Bobcats.
Unstoppable.
Ohio State transfer. He, they couldn't cover him. He was catching everything. He was getting loose. Really good looking ball skills. I'm a fan.
Yeah, that one touchdown in the in the end zone, like dragging his feet with diving, that was nasty. He was the top dude. But I also thought the opposite of him. Keyshawn Cobb played a damn good football game. Like
he did.
Safety, 6'2", like well built, had a pick six. He also dropped interception. He had that nice forced fumble too. They're blitzing him a little bit. The first one was really great though, just like popping it out. That was fun. Yeah, two guys, same game. I thought it was fun. And hopefully we'll talk about Sam Wiggles again.
All right. Want to get to our week 11 picks?
Yeah, let's do it.
I have my second straight week of going 1-4. I'm in a bad slump right now. I don't feel good about myself. I'm still winning on the year, 27-22-1.
I didn't make any picks last week, did I?
I don't know. Did you?
No, I don't think I did.
Did you go 0-5?
I went 0-5. I went 0-5, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because you wouldn't pick the Coastal game with me.
I didn't pick the Coastal game. I took A&M because I thought they were going back to Wigman, but fucking King was out there. I didn't know that. Like, that, come on. That screwed me. I could have went 1-4.
You didn't know about the Aggie flu?
I didn't know, and I didn't know the Aggie flu either. So I'm almost mere reverse of you, 21-27-2.
Damn. All right, starting noon, ESPN, number 7 LSU at Arkansas. Is it the big hangover loss for number 7 LSU? I don't think so. I believe in BK. That's my guy. I'm taking the Tigers -3 at Arkansas. Arkansas just lost to Liberty.
Yeah.
Arkansas's pass defense is brutal. I think Jaden Daniels with Boutte and Neighbors, they're going to get behind that Arkansas D. Other side of the ball, the LSU front seven's pretty scary. The LSU secondary's pretty scary. It's a good defense.
I'm surprised it's only not -3.
Yeah, I was too. I was going to take Tennessee to bounce back -21 against Missouri. But then I saw this was just 3.
That's way better. My first game jumped to 3:30 CBS. This is the bounce back Bama game. -12 at Oklahoma. At Ole Miss. Vaught Hemming. That would be a sick non-con. Maybe the SEC finally schedules a tough team in November, you know what I mean? Against Ole Miss, Vaught Hemming in Wee Stadium. This is another one. I just don't bet against Alabama when they're going off a loss. Nick Saban would be screaming at them all week.
Also really good chance to watch some of the I'm also taking this Alabama -12. A good chance to see some of these Ole Miss prospects.
Yeah, it is. And even the, you know, Judkins against, I know he's freshman, but against that, how much Evans gets involved is going to be fun. There's been a hype. Oh, I'm blanking on the name. The receiver. What's the receiver's name?
Jonathan Mingo.
Mingo, yeah. Lots of hype for him. Seeing him against that Bama secondary is going to be fun. Broker against his Bama front. I think Bama walks him, though. There's no way they don't.
Yeah, I can't imagine Lane Kiffin beating Nick Saban off what just happened.
But it would be awesome, though, wouldn't it? I'm cheering for Ole Miss, but I don't think it's
happening. No, it would be. It would be. 3:30, ESPN 2.
Game of the week.
Game of the week. I can't believe College Game Day didn't go to freaking NOLA.
How do you go back to Austin over there?
Like, I don't know. It's so lame. It's so lame. Tulane's got like some of the craziest fans. Number 22, UCF, taking on number 17, Tulane. Green Wave -2.5 at home. I'm riding the fucking Green Wave.
Of course. Come on. How could you not pick fucking Tulane, baby?
I watched them beat Houston double OT earlier this year, and it was the time of my life. Tulane's got guys, too. Like, Michael Pratt's a very good college quarterback. Yep. Tajay Spears is an NFL running back.
Yep.
They got a good receiver combo in Shea Wyatt and Deuce Watts. Dorian Williams at linebacker is a heck of a player. Like, they got a couple guys on that defense. UCF's also been dealing with injuries. I don't know if John Reese Plumlee's going to play. We'll see. But this is like, oh, man, this is going to be a fun game.
I will say, John Reese Plumlee was built for this type of game. I'll say that. I'll just leave that there. So, but if he's out, if he's out, the wave walk if he's out. I can't believe game day is not there. That sucks.
Sucks big time. 7 p.m. Fox?
No, I didn't pick this one.
Oh, okay. 7 p.m. Fox. Number 25, Washington. Number 6, Oregon. Ducks -13.5. I stayed up Friday night for Washington, Oregon State. Washington used a last-second field goal to upset the Beavs. I'm going to take Oregon. The Washington defense is pretty inconsistent. That Oregon defense, I think, is going to be able to force some turnovers against Michael Penix, who didn't play very well, I didn't think, against Oregon State. Dan Lanning's got the Ducks churning. The Pac-12 is I think it's going to be theirs because I think they're built to beat USC as well. But
this is a big
game, but they're not going to lose at Autzen, and I think they cover the 13.5. Yeah,
I think the spread is just a little. I don't know.
It's a big spread.
Yeah, it's. I don't know. I don't know if I fully trust the Ducks.
You know what, like, AJ? It's not late enough for it to be Pac-12 after dark goofy, so.
That's true. They end up just winning probably like 45-20 or something like that. You're right. I'm going 7 p.m. ESPN, though.
Oh, I'm not.
Okay. The Dogs of Georgia at Mississippi State. The Dogs are -16.5. That feels like free money. I'm going to take Georgia to cover that 16.5. What?
Will Rogers just broke Dak Prescott's passing record.
Sick. Congrats, Will. You're going to break Dak Prescott's interception records, I'm sure, too. Oh,
wow. Jesus. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're coming for blood.
I'm coming for blood. I don't believe in Will Rogers. I don't believe in Mike Leach. But I don't know.
Mike Leach taking the Auburn job, baby.
Yeah. We just got one foot out the door. But I feel like they're just Georgia's going to shut down this air raid offense. Like, come on. 17 points, that's in the bag.
Can I just circle back to something? Apparently, after Liberty beat Arkansas in the postgame interview, for some reason, all Hugh Freeze was talking about was his name surfacing for the Auburn job. I just think that's so funny.
Sick.
Hugh Freeze is fucked.
He just wants it bad.
He does. 7:30 ABC, number 4 TCU at number 18 Texas. This is where game day is. TCU is currently set to make the college football playoff. Texas just upset Kansas State. I guess upset. No. This doesn't feel right. Bijan carried them in that game. They almost collapsed. Quinn Ewers didn't play that well. Xavier Worthy's really good, but I don't.
For Worthy though too, but he's really
good. Yeah, but he's always open.
Yeah.
To me, this is so dependent on if Quentin Johnston plays.
Yeah.
Just because I don't think Texas can hang with him. But even if he doesn't, plus 7.
That's ridiculous.
Kendre Miller is having a great year. Max Duggan's having a great year. He doesn't turn the ball over. Their defense is playing really well. Like, D. Winters played really well against Texas Tech. They got a couple guys in that secondary, obviously.
Hodges Thomas got another pick this week.
Mark Perry. Like, they got a couple guys. Bud Clark. I it feels very Texas for Texas to be favored in this game.
Yep.
Have game day in town, I know they're ranked higher, but it they're the favorite by a whole touchdown. Like, they're gonna lose. I don't trust Sark like that. I don't trust Texas like that.
I can't believe the spread on this. Like, it's
I thought Texas would be favored, but I thought it'd be like 3, 2.5, something like that.
It's so funny to see a playoff team minus 7, though. Plus 7, yeah.
What do you think the spread would have been if Texas blew that Kansas State game?
I don't know.
TCU minus 7 and Texas is unranked? Like,
I feel like the Big 12 is just too wonky, and I mean, Vegas can get a read on it. Yeah, I'm taking TCU as well. I think, like, having that 7, you know what I mean? Like, that's just bulletin board material for the Frogs this week. Sonny Dyke's not going to let that stand. You know what I mean? I think TCU wins. I think TCU wins this game even without Johnston. So, of course, give me the points.
Was that your fifth one?
No, I got one more. 7:30, ooh. ESPN2, UNC at Wake. Wake is minus 3.5. Oh. I picked this game because I wanted to talk about Drake May, who I really haven't sat down.
Justin Herbert?
What? That's why I wanted to talk about him. Yeah. Who? Look. UNC wanted to be if Drake May is Justin Herbert, like some great draft reporters claim, he has to beat Wake. He has to beat Wake. Wake is minus 3.5. I'm taking UNC, but
I almost took Wake in this game. I would have taken Wake. I think
I respect that. I literally just picked this game because I wanted to bring that May thing up. But no, let's get a look at Drake May. Hopefully, I don't know. UNC has played in no meaningful games this year, so I haven't watched him yet.
Yeah, same. And like, it's hard to look, like, the numbers are obviously incredible, but it's Phil Longo's offense. Like, I don't know. Sam Howell, the same guy who said, not to shit on a specific person, but same person who said Drake May is like Justin Herbert, had Sam Howell as like the number two player in the last year's draft at one point.
And hey, like, I'll give the same guy like a flip shot because he said Marvin Harrison Jr. would be the first, the best receiver in this class. He said that pretty early, and he's right about that. So maybe he's right about Drake May, but no, I agree. I agree.
Keep carrying big media's water, AJ.
I'm just trying to get a free subscription to his site. That's all I'm doing.
It is a really interesting, deeper look at Drake May. I don't know. We haven't really seen any North Carolina games this year.
I don't trust UNC in the least. Like, I feel like they're probably going to lose.
They're at Wake this week, right? Then they're home to Georgia Tech, home to NC State, who, like, doesn't have an offense. Their only loss is that Notre Dame game, which, hey, that's another big feather in Marcus Freeman's cap. They're set to play Clemson in the ACC championship unless they fuck this up.
That's the good look. That's going to be the good look. But, yeah, you know what? Should I just flip on air? No, I'm going to take Wake. I'm going to take Wake minus the points. I'm going to do it live.
It's so bad. Flipping's so bad because it's like, I don't know.
No, it's great because next week if I flip it and I'm wrong, I'm like, oh, I just did the flip for as a joke. Like it's I can't.
That's smart. That's what I did that one time with Kentucky and Tennessee. no one knows who I actually took. All right, cool. I can't wait to watch the Green Wave. Bring the tsunami. Is that what they say? What's the Tulane fight song? That's what they say. What do you think the Tulane fight song?
Whatever it is, I want you to Google it and sing it as we end the show.
Okay, done. Buy me a second. What do you think it's called? It's called the Olive and the Blue. That's not good.
No, I love
the Olive. Green wave, hats off to thee. Fight for our victory. Shout to the skies, the Green Wave's war cry.